Hello and welcome to Author Voices On Air Australasia. My name is Deb Han and I'm delighted to be with you again on this very fine and fabulous day. And beautiful people, we have a delightful treat today. We're going to meet an amazing woman who has lived in, you know, both sides of the world, East and West, and has really shared her life story. The book is called Memoir of Half a Banana, and this has been written by the delightful Fei Chow, and she joins us today from Hong Kong. How are you, Fei?
I'm fine. Thank you, Deb.
Welcome. Welcome so much to Author Voices On Air. We're really delighted to have you.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So tell me, first and foremost, I'm fascinated by the title, Memoir of Half a Banana. I mean, are we talking fruit salad here? I mean,
yes.
How did you come up with half a banana? That's
Well, that's how I see myself, because I heard from a friend originally that if a white person, a Westerner, who identifies with the Chinese philosophy and way of life and thinks and acts like a Chinese, then he can be considered a boiled egg. I think of boiled egg because it's white on the outside but yellow on the inside, the yolk. And conversely, because I identify with the American culture and the Western culture, I am yellow-skinned, but I think and usually sometimes act like a white person. So I am named Banana. That's like a common reference to Asians who are westernized, sort of. So when I told my children that I consider myself a banana, one day my daughter said, "No, you're not a banana. We are bananas," because both my children are born and raised in America. So I thought, oh, I am not a banana then, but I still think I am pretty westernized, so I will call myself half a banana. That's how the book came about.
Oh, that is awesome. That really tickled my funny bone when as I read that and, you know, sort of became aware of that story. I was not familiar with the boiled egg piece though, so there you are. I'm already learning from you today, Fei. That's fantastic. And so, yeah, because you were born in China, right?
Well, actually, I was born in Taiwan. Taiwan is part of China, of course, but due to the history, I should give a little background. So in my first chapter, I did just that. I was born in 1949, the same year that China mainland was taken over by the Chinese communists at the time. And the country's name is People's Republic of China, whereas Taiwan, they were defeated in the civil war with the communists. So the party is called the Nationalist China, the Nationalist Party, and they retreated to Taiwan. And Taiwan is better known by the name Taiwan, but officially it still considers itself a country, and the name is the Republic of China.
Right.
So because of this historical background, my family was retreated. Well, my family, because they are mostly military related, so they retreated to Taiwan under the leadership of Chiang Kai-shek. And they are referred to as mainlanders by the locals. Yeah. The locals call themselves Taiwanese. So it's a little complicated and not always clear to the outsiders.
Yeah.
But that's an important background where I grew up from. So I spent a little pages. So I described a little about that piece of history. And throughout the book, because my life is affected by that history, I refer to it from time to time.
Yeah. And to that, I would say, you know, like you say, chapter one, you do set up a little bit of a history lesson there, and it does weave in and out throughout the course of your life. However, your memoir is not a political activist message or anything along those lines. I love your eloquence, particularly in chapter one. You know, you spoke a lot about the very gorgeous relationship and the very special relationship you had with your grandparents. And
right.
I particularly delighted in the way you spoke about being in their garden and just how magical, you know, playing in the garden was, and how you delighted in, you know, the flowers and just, you know, just nature that was in that yard. And
right.
And then even the way you spoke about your grandmother's kitchen, honestly, I fell in love with your grandmother's kitchen and how she cooked and so on. Can you tell me a little more about that and how that, you know, how you carried that forward in your life? It was so beautiful.
Yes. My grandparents, like many Chinese, were interested in playing mahjong. Mm. So they had a lot of friends over almost every day playing with them. And mahjong takes four people. So with their family, then there was always a big group of people eating. And my grandmother was very good at cooking for a lot of people and producing a variety of dishes that were just amazing.
It sounds like a banquet, honestly. The way you write it just sounded like a fabulous feast that she would put together, and it was just so magical, honestly.
It wasn't a very big kitchen, but she was able to produce many dishes on the table and in a short time.
Yeah.
So I learned that from my grandmother. And in fact, I'm going to write my second book, a cookbook.
Oh, wow.
Chinese and English side by side, a cookbook that shows how to group dishes together for a wonderful meal, but very easy to do and do it very fast. This is another legacy that I want to leave my children, because they enjoy my cooking a lot. After they left home for college, yeah, they used to call me and say, "Oh, how do you cook broccoli beef? How do you cook sweet sour pork?" You know, things like that. And I enjoy that.
That's awesome. And I'm so glad to hear that you actually, like you say, you're going to expand your legacy into the cookbook. So that really keeps that generational piece going as well. That's awesome. Well done.
Thank you.
I hope we get to interview you off of that one. So, you know.
Well, I would love to.
Oh, dear. So, tell me then about, so you spent some time, obviously, in Taiwan and China, and then you've found yourself in the US, and
right,
that was because you were quite young, and that whole piece around language and so on as well, like being on.
Well,
the
I didn't speak one word of English when I went to America.
Yeah.
I grew up with my grandparents in Taiwan until I was 11, and then my parents, who worked in Taipei, north of Taiwan. They wrote to my grandparents and said, "Oh, I think it's time for Faye to come up and live with us, so she can be prepared for the fierce competition of schools in a large city." So I went to live with my parents when I was in the fifth and sixth grade, and then by the time I want to go to the middle school, my father was transferred to work in the Chinese embassy in Washington, D.C. And he made arrangements for my mother and I to go live with him for 3 years. So I had the opportunity to go to America and attend a junior high school. But it was very hard for me because I couldn't speak English. And in the school, I didn't understand what was going on. Every night I would cry because I didn't understand how to do the homework. My poor father would help me. He would read my textbooks and then explain to me. So it was very hard in the beginning.
Yeah. It's almost like that kind of resilience really set you up for your whole life going forward.
Yes, definitely. But I was taught to excel, so I really studied hard. And in the first year, I didn't have any grade except for math, which the Chinese are good at, math. I had A in art and the music and physical education, but that's about it. I didn't have any grade on my report card because I could not take the exam. I didn't know anything.
Yeah, and you know, fast forward, and here you are writing books. So you know, it set you up fantastically. So
one has to improve, right? So I worked hard, and by the second year, I was able to garnish better grades, and by the third year, I was getting all grades and a B in physical education. I'm just not athletic.
But seriously, you know, Faye, you just the way you tell your life stories, you really do take the reader in, and it's a delightful read. It really is a delightful read. I really enjoyed reading your story and how you wove your culture, you know, your cultures, I should say, into your story, into your memoir of Half a Banana. I'm curious, what did you find as maybe the most challenging piece to write about as you reflected on your life? Because that's what you've done. You really have reflected right through from childhood to, you know, changing from one side of the world to the other, through school, through, you know,
right,
family and career and so on. So what did you find most, right, most challenging?
Yeah, in looking back on my life and writing about it, I was a little hesitating about my confrontation with my parents. Because I was away from them for 11 years, I was at first expecting to be reunited with them and then enjoying the closeness, the bond between parents and children. But I did not have that because, for one thing, they were young, very young. My mother was 19 when she gave birth to me.
Yeah.
So literally a teenager.
Yes.
And my father was like 23. And they were young. They didn't know much about parenting, and they probably had their expectation of me as their daughter. So by the time I went to live with them, I was already 11, 12. So I was my own person already. And because they did not offer me the closeness that I expected, I felt distant from them. I think the most important thing about parenting that they perceived was to make me study hard and be a good human being.
Yeah.
They did not realize that I wanted their affection most of all. So I felt that they treated me like a juvenile delinquent, because they would say, you know, behave yourself, and don't do this, don't do that, and curfews and everything. But I was already a very good student and a very well-behaved child at that. So it was a little hard.
Yeah. So then, you know, fast forward where, you know, you're a mom now, you know, you have your own children. And, you know.
With my own children, I did completely the opposite.
Yeah. How often is that the case, though?
So I showered them with kisses and love, and I told them how special every day.
Yeah. That's so awesome. So now then, if you think about having written your book, what's the most rewarding part? If that the estrangement piece with your parents and, you know, that parenting lesson was the most challenging, what's the most rewarding? What's been the biggest blessing of you writing a memoir?
Well, I think it gave me a chance to look back on my life and really put down in anecdotes and in interesting stories, something for my children,
yeah,
to learn where they came from, to learn about a little history about China, about their family background, and who a person their mother is. So that's the most rewarding, I think.
So Faye, in all of this, I know you know that what was most challenging and most rewarding, but is there a chapter of your, maybe your adult life that you're most proud of?
Yes, I realized that most of my life I had been passive. I was being a good daughter, a good student, a good wife, a good mother. I felt like I was living the way that everybody else was expecting me to. So in a sense, I lost myself and I was very happy about myself. So there was one time I had the chance to work in Beijing, China. So I went by myself. I left my husband and my children in America, and I went to work in Beijing for a few months. And because I was able to reflect on my life alone, I felt like I was in exile, but self-induced exile.
Yeah.
I had the chance to really think, what do I want in life? Who am I? And so I got my power back because I realized that I alone am responsible for myself, for my life.
Yeah.
That's somehow I got my confidence and my power.
Yeah, that is an awesome chapter of your story, I must say. Much like the piece around when your husband, you and your husband started the restaurant. Can you tell us a little about that? Just give people a little snippet.
There was in our lives, there was one time when between my husband and myself, we had $8 in the world.
Wow.
So that was not scary at the time, though, because I felt, well, we could borrow money from our good friends, and I can I could write to my parents and ask for a loan. And then a few months later, I was a friend of ours who owned a small Chinese restaurant, contacted us and then said that they wanted to retire, so they would like to sell the restaurant to us.
Perfect.
They did.
Yeah.
On installments. So we were able to afford a Chinese restaurant in DeKalb.
And what a chapter that was for you. That really set you up, right?
Yes, that's why I named the chapter Young and Fearless.
So true. Super special. Tell me, and or maybe Faye, if you will, share with our listeners where they can get their hands on a copy of your memoir of Half a Banana, please.
From Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. They can mail order it.
So jump online, folks, and get onto Amazon, get onto Barnes & Noble, and get yourself a copy of Memoir of Half a Banana by Faye Chow. And that is, Chow is C-H-O-U. Honestly, do yourself a beautiful favor, people. This is a delightful story. And if you have any curiosity around you know, would you agree, Faye, we live in such a diverse world culturally now? I think this is one of the things I most enjoyed about your story is how you walked that cultural line, you know, honoring, trying to honor your Chinese heritage, leaning into the American, you know, way of life as well. And, you know, finding where you fit in all of that and making your way was very inspiring the way you shared that story. And I think there's lots of lessons in that for us today in our modern world, you know, as we learn and grow in this multicultural world in which we live.
Thank you very much. And as I wrote to the book, I was amazed at how different the Chinese culture is from the American culture or the Western culture. It's interesting to compare the two in that the Chinese is more reserved, conservative, and the Americans are open, free-thinking. Another thing about raising children, I learned that the Chinese drive their children to excel in academically and in violin lessons, piano lessons, that kind of thing. But the Americans, on the other hand, they tell children, "Oh, this is a beautiful picture you drew, no matter how ugly it is." They just encourage children, you know, encourage them, be creative, be your own person. You are special, you know. Yeah. It's completely different. Yeah. But the Chinese mostly criticize their children.
Okay. Well, listen, I have no criticism for you. I have only praise for you, Faye. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
A complete pleasure, Faye. Honestly, thank you for writing your book. Thank you for taking the time and going back and, you know, visiting your memories and sharing them with us in the way that you have. And seriously, I hope we do get to reconnect when your cookbook comes out, because if we get to revisit your grandmother's kitchen, your version, that'll be a really wonderful thing.
One word about my cookbook, there is, I limit the food ingredients to under 3.
Oh.
So the way I see it, broccoli chicken has only 2 ingredients, food ingredients, broccoli and chicken. How simple is that?
It's true.
And to season it, salt.
Wow. So you're telling me there's no other herbs and spices, it's just the broccoli and the chicken and the salt?
Well, a little water and obviously oil, water to heat it up, to cook. But the way I see cooking is how to make something edible and how to make it delicious.
Okay, you've got me. Let me know when this book comes out. I'm onto it. Thank you.
Super simple. I'm going to include 100, over 100 dishes, but 99% of them have less than 3 food ingredients.
All right. That, ladies and gentlemen, is what we call a teaser. Okay. Well done, Faye. Thank you so very much. All right.
Thank you for having me.
Complete pleasure. Beautiful people, go check out Memoirs of Half a Banana by Faye Chow. And let's stand by for the next exciting episode of her cookbook as well. So that's it for me today. My name is Deb Han, and this has been Author Voices on Air Australasia. And until next we meet, keep being fabulous. Bye for now.